Oh, what a lovely summer morning it is here in Bolton, along these cobbled streets and dense rows of terraced houses. Listen to the pigeons picking away in the gutter and the sparrows chirping on the house ledgings. It's Wednesday, the 1st of June, 1921, and there's not a soul in sight. Everything's peaceful and quiet, and that's rare around here at the corner of Cotton Street, a row of two up and two down cottages, where usually there are folk going off to mill or foundry, or colliers clomping home black and weary after the night shift. Well, the coal miners are out on strike. It's a lockout, in fact, by the mine owners, who want to dock 40% off the men's wages, now that Lloyd George has given them back the mines after the war, and the miners won't accept. So after 9 long weeks of the pits being shut down, most of the mills are in need of coal, and have gone on short time. Ah, here comes out Bob the knocker-up, the only one around, and I'll bet he's feeling the pinch, poor chap. He depends on that fourpence a week he charges. Ah, I see he's stopped outside Whittle's. So Mrs. Whittle's still working. Now he's just lifting up his long pole, one with a whisk of wires bristling out on the end, and he's just about to rat-a-tat it on the bedroom window. Just listen.
It's a quarter of seven. It's a quarter of seven, Mrs. Whittle. Say, it's just turned a quarter of seven, Mrs. Whittle. It's a grand sunny morning, tis for sure.
All right, Bob. All right, old chap. Leave it to me, I'll reckon her.
Darn her, darn her. Don't let her overlie.
That's all right, Bob. Leave it to me.
Say, Ned, I was just thinking. It would be a grand day down to Epsom for Derby, won't it?
Aye, it will be for sure. For anybody with any bloody money. As for me, I'm not the price of a bloody penny box of matches.
Derby Day. A play in two parts by Bill Norton. With Barry Rutter, Stephanie Turner, Polly James and Brian Pringle. Part 1. Off to a flying start.
Maggie, off. Knocker up's been. It's 10 minutes to seven. Maggie, off.
What? What is it?
I said it's 10 to 7, Maggie. It's time to get up.
Nay, can't be.
But it is.
Seems like I've only just shut my eyes and... Oh, we're having such a lovely dream.
Were I in it?
You? Well, hell is like. What would any say woman want with her husband in a dream? We're all on me own, we're lovely.
And don't go to sleep again, Maggie. The locker up spin.
He hasn't, has he?
Aye, can you hear him on window?
Nothing at all. Only the crowd cheering.
What crowd cheering?
The crowd at the Derby. I was there in all my finery. I mean, in the dream, surrounded by royalty.
Now,
I was.
Don't say.
What a pity you woke me. Such a flaming letdown. Derby 1 minute and being woke up for work next. And the Prince of Wales smiling at me. What a lovely smile that lad has. And I waken up to see your ugly mug in front of me.
Hey, you two across there. Will you shut up and let Bobby get a bit of sleep?
Winnie, love, it's time to get up. It's 7 o'clock.
You're a liar, Dad. Let me have my sleep out, will you?
Did you hear that, Maggie? The way they talk to their father since he went on strike.
Ned, love, let her have a minute or two. She has a long day before her in that mill. Hey, before I forget... I promised Beatty next door I'd give her a call.
Where can Beatty? Why? We Albert on strike.
She said something about doing some washing.
What, on a Wednesday? That's not what,
Beatty. She said blankets and all that. I'll give her a trap on. Oh, where's me shoe?
Why, oh, you're not as young as you used to be, Maggie.
Oh, you can talk. Right, let's see if she hears this. Beatty? King and Queen were there, and Princess Mary and Lord Lascelles.
Easy, Maggie. Them bedroom walls are only thin.
I've got to whack in there, haven't I? I had Aga Khan too and Lord Derby, and they were all yelling, "Good old Steve Beatty!" Hey, say, Ned, what's the name of that horse he's riding today?
You, miss, the one owned by that South African gold mine millionaire, George.
Humorist, aye, that was it, Humorist Beatty.
beat him.
I'd say that humorist can't win that race.
What do you mean humorist can't win that race?
I've been studying the form.
Form my backside. I know what I saw in my dream.
And I know what I've studied.
And if you know so much, how is it you never win out, eh? Tell me that.
I say, will you two shut up and let me have my sleep out?
Winnie, you'll have to be up in a couple of minutes.
Beaty, love. She must have gone deaf.
Don't forget, she and Albert are only in their 20s. You're daft, Maggie, taking notice of dreams.
Of course I'm daft. I wouldn't have married you if I'd been right in my head. All right, then, Beatty, love. Woman, I thought she was going to come through at war with that shoe wheel. It's all right, old mummy dear.
Mm, so did I. What's she not for?
I asked her to.
Why? We didn't have to get up for. Have we?
Well, I put one or two blankets to soak.
Right. Oh, you please yourself, Beatty. Well, you know what it is. Once you're up, you'll be on your feet all day.
Oh, I suppose an extra 5 minutes won't kill me. Here, move over a bit. I'll come back in beside you.
Come on up here, Beatty. In you come. Now, how's that?
That feels nice and warm and comfy. Suppose I turn me back on you, and we can both drop off for a bit.
Oh, just as you like.
Oh, hang on a tick. Let me pull me nighty down. Oh, that feels better.
I'm not squashing you, am I?
No, I bagged the room. What about you?
Oh, I'm all right. More or less.
Well, you can come closer up if you like. What'd it look like? Need to stay that far away.
No. I'm all right, Beatty. I'm all right as I am.
Are you sure? I mean, you're doing a lot of squirming about. Just tell me when you've done.
Oh, excuse me. I was just making myself... You know, I mean, I didn't want to go shoving myself up against you.
All right. Now, we seem to be settled, so let's have half an hour's nice little snooze, eh?
Eh, whatever you say, sir. Hey, but no, don't hutch up too close, please. I feel on the warm side.
Don't worry, I won't. God bless.
God bless, sir. Just rest yourself.
Albert, keep out.
Hey, what's up, Beatty?
I'll give you what's up, Beatty.
Why? Was there something?
You know as well as I do how you spring your surprises. I've never guessed.
Oh, I'm right. Sorry, I am honest. It's not my fault. I'll tell you what, suppose I turn the other way, eh? And we lie back to back.
If you think it'll do any good.
Well, let's try it anyway. How's that? Is it any better?
Feels a bit odd to me. My back pressed up to your big back.
I see what you mean.
Are you sure you don't want to, you know...
Yeah, well, positive. I went a short time back.
Oh, all right. Turn round, Albert, and don't make such a fuss. After all, it's not a crime in a chap's own bed. I'll turn too.
I know, but... Well, it doesn't seem right when I'm not working. I mean...
I don't know what's come over you these last weeks.
Well, you have to excuse me, Beatty. If I'd been working at the Coalface when we pick and spare, we're a very different story.
Aye, but you're not working at Coalface. You're in bed with your wife.
Well, I suppose what it is, a man's energies has got to come out one way or the other. Listen, I tell you what, I'll get you up. I'll get up and go to the allotment or something and work it off. That's the best idea.
Stay where you are. You don't think I'd let you out in the street in the state you're in, do you? You might get run in before you got near the allotment.
Well, ignore it, then. Just ignore it. That's the best thing.
Well, some things are not all that easy to ignore.
Don't let's talk about it anymore, please. I've come over all that in sweating or something. I have for sure.
Well, why don't you take your shirt off, then?
Take my shirt off? What? You mean, just lie here beside you with nothing on?
Well, we're man and wife, aren't we?
Well, I suppose we are. It never struck me. I mean, to take my shirt off.
If you can take it off down pit in front of all your mates who is to work, you can at least take it off in your own bed with your wife who is to rest.
Well, I suppose I can. Somehow it never strikes you. No. I will take it off. After all. Hey, that feels better.
I'll bet it does.
Yeah, a lot better. Yes, I can breathe now. That feels jumpy.
Ooh, I say, what a big airy chest you've got.
Oh, get over, BJ. Stop your slapping.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I felt I just had to. Well, it's funny a chap having all that air, so dark and curly.
I say, you know what I was thinking?
Wouldn't it be a rum do if you took your nighty off, do I? Supposed to be lying here as God made us.
Well, don't you dare me, I'm in that mood.
No, but suppose my mum was to get up there and happened to come in out the back bedroom and saw us both being out on.
Suppose she did. Same as I say, we're married, aren't we? Besides, she never come in without knocking. You know, at times, Albert, you seem a bit too concerned about your mother and what she thinks.
Oh, you reckon so? Well, I'd say I can't be too concerned about my mother, not after what she's had to go through.
I know what. I'm taking it off.
Get off. You're not trying.
I am for sure. I'm stifling. Now, turn away, please. Just for a take. Ooh. What a relief. How nice that feels to have nout on, doesn't it? Well, we wear clothes in bed, I don't know.
Well, it'll be a rum do. Lying naked beside each other in bed every night. I doubt I get any sleep.
Me either. All right, you can turn round now. I've covered myself up with sheets.
All right. Hey,
we are a game pair, aren't we, Beefy? Just lying here on our back. We nout on. And folk out in the street, no, but 2-3 yards away, going about their business.
Well, let them go about their business, them as have any to go about. Here, I know what. Mm-hmm. Let's just have a quiet snuggle. I'll lie with me back to you and put your arm.
Good idea, Beefy. Hey, I can't get over how nice it feels having no shirt on.
How's that, Albert? You comfy? Are you doing enough knocking about?
Comfy? Oh, Beefy, it's heavenly. There's no other word for it. Heavenly. Your skin, your whole body, it's so lovely. But I never realised. I'm being at home with you and our little Sammy. I mean, instead of going out that front door every night to graft and sweat down Brett Rupert. And stroking your bare shoulder like that.
Oh, Albert, go easy, love.
Hey, why what?
I mean, with your hand, it gives me a funny feeling, like, and you know how I am at times. And I've them blankets to wash.
Hey, love comes before blankets, or at least it should.
Well, I've been looking round for something I might have to pawn if things got worse. And I'd like to have them clean and freshen on one side, like. I mean, you never know in this life what could happen next. Oh, Father, what a pity. I'm coming, love. I'll be right back, Albert. Don't move. I'll be back in here beside you, and I'll give you a little kiss to be going on with. Coming, pet. I'm coming, Mummy.
Hey, Beatty. My man's knocking at the bedroom door.
Where's my shirt?
Here's your nightie.
What are you getting so excited about?
Hey, well, not mine, will it? How John striking the pair of us like this? No, I'll just get my shirt on.
Oh, what could she want to wear, Lane?
Well, I don't know. Oh, but be nice to her, Beatty. Is that you, ma'am? Oh, come on in. Hey, don't stand on ceremony.
Excuse me. Good morning. I'm sorry coming in on you. I were only just wondering...
Good morning, ma'am. What is it? No, come on in.
Well, I just thought... Good morning, Beatty.
Morning.
I heard baby crying, and being that I've been lying awake, like, I just wondered... Would you like me to take him in with me?
Oh, it's a good idea, ma'am. He'll enjoy that. He's always good for you, eh? Hey, Beatty?
Hang on a tick.
What, Sam? Would you like to go to Granny? Would you like to go to Granny's bed?
Let me have a look at him first. I think he might have wet himself.
Oh, don't worry about that, Beatty.
Oh, I'm afraid he has. I'll have to change his double.
Oh, me mum can handle that. Can't you, mummy? Change doubles.
Yes, love, I've changed thousands. And you has more than one.
Oh, I'll bet.
Oh, I'm sorry, but he's dirted himself as well.
Ooh, you naughty boy!
I'll have to wash him and too.
But my mum can
do it. All right, love. It's all right, Beatty, I understand. I only just offered, just in case.
Beatty, I'm sure me mum
I know she can. But our Sam's got such sensitive skin, you know what I mean?
I understand, love.
I'll have to do it myself, powder it and that. I'm sorry, but thanks for offering.
It's all right. I'll see you later. God bless. God bless.
God bless, ma'am. God bless.
Albert, suppose I bring the cot up beside the bed.
Don't bother. Don't bother yourself.
Why not?
Oh, Sam. He's not wet, is he? And he doesn't need changing, does he?
No, he doesn't, but I had to make an excuse to him.
Why make an excuse? Why do you have to refuse me, ma'am, that small pleasure, eh? After all, she gets few enough.
Sure, she might hear us. I'm sorry, Albert, but she won't wash to clean, will she?
Well, she'd only just got out of bed, hadn't she?
Aye, but you can't be too careful with a young baby. They pick up every little thing.
Well, I'll tell you something. If you bring her up half as well as my mother's brought up her three sons in this house, well, you won't be doing too bad.
Well, what are you putting your shirt and trousers on for?
I'm going downstairs.
Oh, you're not, are you? Whatever for?
I am.
But...
I'll go out for a walk and a breath of fresh air or something.
Oh, no, Albert, please.
I'm going.
Well, you soon changed your tune, I must say.
Well, if you want to know, you changed it for me.
How do you mean I changed it for you?
The way you were with my man.
I was thinking of our child.
Only between me and my mother. But it's the worst thing you can do. I couldn't rest now anyway. No, I'm off.
Oh, dear. Your dad's so touchy. And I ought to have kept my mouth shut. Just when...
Oh, hello, ma'am. You're down early?
I was just going to say the same about you. I thought I'd lay the table enough. Oh, you haven't had words with Beatty, have you?
Eh? No, ma'am. Not really.
She's a good wife, Albert, is that girl, and a good mother.
Yes, ma'am, I know.
And she's a good worker. And that's what you need in a wife around these parts.
Yeah, she's happened a bit set in her ways.
Oh, we're all set in our ways at that age. Natural in the young woman. She's planning ahead, looking forward. The older woman looks back. Always try to understand that with Beatty and your little son.
You'll have to start looking forward a bit, eh, ma'am? Oh, so cheer up. Strike will soon be over.
Not that. I've seen strikes come and go. They may hurt and hunger, but they seldom kill. No. How it is with me, love, I no longer feel I'm much use to anybody. It's not like in the old days. I was always wanted for something or other.
You will be again, ma'am. So you mustn't talk like that.
No, I must I? Or happen they'll be sending me away.
Sending you away? Where to? Eh? What do you mean? Who'll send you away from your own home?
It's crossed my mind once or twice. You do get odd ideas when you're lonely. And there's one or two old uns gone from round here.
Yes.
And the relatives thought they were behaving a bit odd.
Ma'am, stop joking like that.
You'd never have me sent to one of those places, would you, son?
Now, Mother, how can you think you'd ever have to go, or that I'd let you go anywhere?
I know it's hard for the young uns having the old uns around.
You're not even old, ma'am.
Perhaps not, but I feel old. When you become a nuisance, folk get doctors to sign one of those forms. And the next thing you know, the cab's at the door.
Mother.
Sorry, love. It's only that I was born in this street. And I'd like to die in it, please, God. Forgive me, lad, if I worried you. I'll just go out and feed me birds. They'll be waiting for me.
Now, that woman you can hear singing away is Fanny Brighouse. She's bossing some washing in her dolly tub in backyard. A well-set-up woman in her 40s. A widow. She lost her husband, Gilbert, in the Pretoria pit disaster some 11 years back in 1910. Fanny hasn't been herself lately. She's upset about some misunderstanding or other between herself and her married daughter, Polly, who's expecting shortly. Hey, I see Maggie Whittle's just coming out of her back door.
Fanny.
Oh, morning.
You must have had your bird feed here in good voice.
Morning, Maggie. Well, you know how it is sometimes. I couldn't sleep.
Still worrying about your Polly, I'll be bound.
Ah, poor lass, she must be getting nearer time. And she hasn't come next near me.
What a shame.
And all because I told her how it feels when a neighbour can tell a mother that her own daughter is pregnant.
I don't think myself that Polly told her so. You know, they do reckon old Sarah Kippax spots the signs afore the woman herself knows. Hey, Bill, how much longer are you going to be in that petty? You know, once he gets in there, there's no shifting him.
And well, same as they were saying, being as I couldn't sleep, I felt I had to be up and doing something.
I know, because nothing settles my nerves like a good bout of washing clothes. Hey, you! Do you know, I swear he does it deliberate. Shall I fetch you the oil can?
Here I am, what's all fuss about?
Oh, don't say you've done. I thought you were making your flaming will the summer time you were in there.
Oh, it's only warming tea for you. Oh,
well, I'll hardly have time to sit down.
Oh, here comes Benny Baxter, a spinner. Now, I don't want to say anything against spinners, They're aristocrats of a sort. They've made any prosperity Boughton has known. So you've got to admit, they're every one on the tight fist, you'd say.
Hello there, everybody.
Morning, eh?
How's it going, Benny?
Oh, rough, Ned, rough. You know, we're on 3 days a week, and Amy's laid off till the strike settles.
Oh, never knew a spinner who didn't have a few bob outside.
Oh, nay, Ned, not me. I'm only a side piecer. In fact, I were looking around for somebody I could borrow a fag off. Even a docker. Oh, anything for a smoke.
Look, look, look at that empty pipe. I'm thinking of drawing a few tea leaves to fill it.
Could they oblige me with a match, then? We've no fire and no matches and can't make ourselves a cup of tea. Amy's going mad for a morning cup of tea.
Oh, is she? Poor girl.
Well, let me have a look in my box. I know I'm not many. I've just a couple left.
Oh,
well, there they are. Well, welcome to it. Here you are.
Oh,
ma'am! How is it that old Winnie can have a dish cookie
with bacon bits, and all I get is this rotten dry body with nothing on?
I'll answer for you, ma'am. Money, lad, money! Your Winnie will have to be in the card room in the mill by 7:45, working. Working to fetch money home.
Aye, and I'll be 14 and working come next January. Little Peter, aye, I'm fetching money home.
Then thou'll be treated to bacon butties if that lucky. Ned, I was just thinking, this single match.
What about it?
I mean, I might lose this in a corner of a pocket. I wonder, being as you've got a fire, could this be the way to let me have t'other match? And box as well, to strike it on.
Here. Oh, thank bloody lot.
Oh, ta very much, Ned, that at all. I say, Fanny, you're Polly. By gum, she's getting a size.
If you don't mind, I don't want to hear anything about our Polly.
Oh, that's for 7:25, Buzzer. See you then,
in the hush of the morning, June, roses are blooming in Piccadilly, but there's never a rose like...
Fanny! Fanny! Are you there, Fanny?
Oh! Is that you, Jack?
Hi, Fanny. It's me.
Just a click. I'll open the back gate.
I just sneaked out for a minute.
Tell me, Jack. How is our Polly this morning?
Oh, she looks bonny. Oh. She does, honest. I've got her to stay in bed. She was cleaning away yesterday. There were no stopping her.
Hey, Jack, I were just the same over her. She must be getting very near the time.
Mrs. Satterthwaite, the midwife, reckons she'll be another fortnight at the earliest. I've just slipped out on the quiet.
Yeah. Oh, I've got it all ready for you.
What?
Hang on a tick. Now, here you are. I've got these 3 new laid eggs I got from the farmer yesterday. I know how she likes an egg for breakfast.
Just the thing. I'll boil her one as soon as I get back.
Now, Jack, before I forget, in case you run short of money...
Oh, no, Fanny, no, don't bother. No, let me all right.
Now, look, take it when I tell you.
Ta, Fanny, ta. It will come in handy.
Of course it will.
I say, you couldn't bring yourself just to look in like, could you?
No, I couldn't. Not after she's good as called me a liar.
Well, she says it was you as good as called her one.
I never... Of course, I'd love to see the lass, but I don't think it right that the mother should make the first move to heal a quarrel.
I suppose you're right, Fanny. But you know how she is.
Yes. Just like her dad were. You'll look after her, Jack, won't you?
Well, of course I will. I'm playing the impact husband just now, being on strike.
If you need me at all, let me know. I'll be there. After all, she is my daughter. But I know our Polly would never forgive herself for humbling her own mother. I'll wait for her to make the first move.
Jack? Jack? How much longer are you going to be with my breakfast?
Come in, Polly.
Here we are. At your service.
Where have you been all this time?
Making you some nice toast. Now... There's your breakfast tray.
No need to have fetched it up, you know. I'd have been just as happy having it downstairs.
I know, but I thought just a little rest.
Oh, I say, that does look nice. A boiled egg. A brown one, too. Hey, now, where'd you get that egg from, Jack Howard? We had none last night.
Never you mind where I got it from. I got it, and it's new laid. Not going to see my wife go hungry.
You haven't been buying on the tick, have you?
No, I haven't.
All right. I'll take your word. so long as we don't go out. Open the curtain, will you? So the sun can come in.
They say the sun shines on the righteous.
Yes, and it is nice having breakfast in bed for once. But I don't want you to make a practice of it.
How's that, Polly? Is that enough light?
Yeah, but pull him right back. Bless you, darling. I love a bit of sunshine. So little we see of it.
I remember. The house where I was born.
The little window where the sun came peeping in at morn. Fancy. He's reciting poetry now.
Hey, Polly, do you think our little one will be able to say that? I remember.
I don't see why he shouldn't. Unless this strike goes on and we get turned out for missing the rent. No, he'll have a good little home. And a fair mum and dad. Not every child can say that in these days.
Aye, and from the looks of your breast, he'll have plenty to sup, eh, what?
Don't you be so rude. Just because I'm not covered up properly. Let me make myself tidy.
I like your morning look, Polly.
You would. No, I'd not go thirsty. Not if I've out to do with it. That's one thing I do believe in. Mother's milk.
Is he still kicking? You know, like he used to.
Revolver, that was months ago. He's talking by this time.
Get off.
Oh, we have many a little chat together. You know, I'm not codding, Jack, but it's almost like he's talking to me at times. Some nights when I'm awake, we have a whisper together.
Why, how do you mean? Is he...
I whispered to you, didn't I? After I'd known you 9 months, and you weren't near as close to me as he is.
Now you did that and all. You used to coo in them days, Polly. Here. Let me give you a little kiss.
No, don't you start getting sloppy. It's the wrong time for it.
No, when you finish your breakfast, you won't jump out of bed and start scrubbing and cleaning and whatnot.
I'll do just what I feel like when I get up. I won't ask you or anybody else.
Oh, but Polly, it can't be right for a woman in your condition. All that scrubbing and stretching.
Now, what would you know about it, eh? I've got something inside me tells me what to do and not to do. If I get a feeling to go down on my knees and do a bit of scrubbing, I'll get down.
Oh, Polly, love, I beg you.
I'm a woman, not a flaming paper doll. I won't break in two. And that reminds me. I'll be whitewashing the petty today, so I'll need a bucket of lime.
The petty doesn't need whitewashing.
It might not, but I feel a need to do it. So it amounts to the same thing.
But I can do it.
Yes, I'm sure you can do a lot of things. But I happen to like whitewashing. Oh, and by the way, that bed in the back bedroom, I shall want it put in downstairs.
Bring the bed downstairs? Whatever for?
You don't think I'm going to have my child born upstairs, dear, and then spend 10 days out of sight?
Oh, but you get such peace and quiet.
I don't want peace and quiet. I want to see all that's going on.
But I thought...
Oh, and before I forget, I want you to go to Braven's Fruit Shop in Derby Street and get me an orange box. A good un.
What's an orange box for?
For old baby's cot, what do you think? Oh, and get 2 sheets of sandpaper from the ironmonger. 2 for a halfpenny. I want you to smooth it down. And I'll paint it blue and cover it.
Hey, Polly. It seems a pity we can't afford a proper cradle. I love a nice cradle.
And to think there's the most lovely cradle in the world. Upstairs in my mum's back bedroom. What my dad made for me. And my own mother hasn't even had the decency to come round and offer it to me. For her own grandchild.
Oh, but I'm sure she would, Polly, if you were to ask her.
Ask her! Ask her! Do you think I'd lower myself?
But I'm sure she wants to make
Listen,
it up just as much as
you. Your own mother can be funny with me at a time like this, knowing how much I miss her and need her. Then I can be just as dumb as...
Polly, she didn't mean it.
I said no, didn't I? No, no, no. It's my mother, not yours, so keep your motty out of it. What goes on between mother and daughter is their private affair. Son-in-laws, don't come into it.
Well, I'm only saying that your mum's all right.
I know what my mum is. I don't need a gobbin like you to tell me. There's not a better mother in the world than mine. It's just she's so flaming pig-headed.
Poor old Polly. Hey, but let's slip into number one, the Baxters, and see what Benny's up to.
Amy... Now, just look here, I'll light a fire.
Go on, I'm looking.
A good tip to say buying fire lighters. See how you fold any old newspapers like that?
How can I? You never buy one.
Oh, you can always scrounge a few old newspapers here and there. And you leave a corner sticking out like that. You strike your match. Just light it like that, see? And we'll soon have a fire, see? My man never spent a halfpenny on firewood.
What I can't understand, Benny, is since you've got money in your pocket and some more in the bank, Why you don't buy yourself a penny box? Instead of going around making little of yourself by counting matches at this hour of the morning.
Well, there's a lot of things you don't understand about me. On principle, I never spend when I can catch. Nobody minds giving the odd match or two. And as for making little of myself, I enjoy it. It's a battle of wits. Can I get it out of him? Besides, I like to keep in practice. A good catcher needs to.
Oh, I tell you one thing. I could eat something good. There's times I feel famished.
Well, don't worry, Amy. I'm going to the wholesale market to see what I can pick up, Buckshee. And we'll call at Sedwin's before we go. I'll get a loaf and that. My mam didn't mind going hungry so long as she was saving.
Well, I do.
You keep faith with money, Benny, and money will keep faith with you. Your best friend in this life is the pound in your pocket. That's what she used to say. Ah, see what a nice fire I've made you. And it didn't cost a farthing.
Oh, are you there? Can't hear there's somebody knocking on the shop door, you big oaf.
Yes, Lizzie, I'm just going to go down up now.
What are you standing there by the window for, skinning your eyes out
I'm at? Just about to start dressing me, Lizzie.
We're in the front bedroom of the Sedwins, who keep the corner shop. Sidney there, he's a crafty one, all right. He's peeping out through a corner of the curtain.
Can't you hear him knocking, waiting for you to open up?
He'll only be somebody for a box of matches.
I don't care if it's only for April humbugs. We're supposed to be on hand to serve people going to their work. Sid, I've told you before, my mother always had that shop door open at 7 o'clock prompt.
Ah, you've told me more than once about your mother and the shop.
I say, were you up to your old tricks? Were you darking?
Were what?
Darking. Darking from behind curtains at yon bedroom windows across the street.
No, I were not darking, as you call it.
Oh, you damn well were. I can see it on your face.
And what if I were watching her last dressing? What harm?
I was up past midnight cleaning. They'll find it all spick and span, everything in place. Oh, get down and open shop, will you? And see you devour Jimmy's collar. Don't want him late for school.
I'll tell you one thing. You wouldn't talk to me like that. I'd be out the door if it weren't for this malaria of mine.
Oh, malaria, give over. You and your malaria.
Yes, malaria. At a temperature 107.
Oh, any flaming mosquito has bit you would be hard up.
Listen, let me tell you something.
What?
If you had once seen what went on out there in Mesopotamia, if you'd watched what our lads had to suffer in that bloody country, marching under that bloody sun, throats parched, the sodding Turks lying in wait for any ladders dropped out, you'd... you... I'm damn well coming!
Bloody men! They're all alike. Oh, if I had my way, I'd drown a lot of them. It... I suppose there's something in what the poor old sod says. It must have been awful in the desert.
Jimmy, time to get up, lad. Time to get up. That's a good lad. I'll see you later. Best old girl, I'm here. There's a good dog, eh? Hey, at least you'll give me a welcome. Come on. Come on, I'll let you out to do your biz. Off you go, lad. Right, rotten. Now, what do you want?
A box of matches, please.
You did hell of a lot of knocking for a box of matches.
Oh, in a hurry.
Get off.
Time. Morning, Sidney. I've been waiting for him to open.
Morning, Maggie.
Sid, wear half an ounce of thick twist for Ned, will you? Give it to our Adam.
Half ounce of thick twist?
I can't see him short of the smoke.
I would. Out on strike, I'd see him all short.
Come on, Mama, I'm coming, love. Now, you put the tobacco to your dad and matches. Put it down, will you, Sid?
I will, for sure.
Hey, and I'll give you Winifred Darby. Uberist.
Oh, now, I don't know as I fancy Steve Donahue for that race today.
Oh, another of them, I'll tell you. I just rent it. I saw it this year as I'm seeing you. I'll be fetching you the bets to the big corner from all my mates in Mills.
Good. Fetch as many as you like. I'll take them all to the bookies.
Ma, before you go, can I have a penny for toffee?
No, you can't. Do you think I'm buying toffee on tick for you?
Oh, please, Mum. Just a penny.
All right. Blast you, give him a penny for toffee as well, Sid. Boot
right.
Me down.
All right,
Mum, yeah. Come on, Mum. Don't worry, you bloody man in this. Nice now.
Hey,
humorist, don't forget.
Come on, then.
Oh, hello, Sarah.
Good morning, Maggie.
Hey, the birds know you all right.
I like to give him a few crumbs.
Ah!
Johnny, love. Hey, listen, listen, Sarah. I've got the Derby winner.
What?
It came straight from heaven in a dream. Humorist. Old Steve's mount.
Humorist? Right. I'll have a flutter on that.
Mom! Come in, love, now. Don't forget, Sarah.
Make up the mind, lad, what they want for the penny.
I think I'll have a halfpenny of a lasting skip and a half of the broken chocolate.
They'll have none to the sort. We don't sell broken chocolate in Apis. Oh. It won't run to it, especially on the tip. They'll have what the man said, a penny for topping.
Right.
Morning, Amy. How go, Bennett? Adam? Right. Your tobacco matches topping. Off with you.
All right. Where are Mr. Stubbing?
Yes, Bennett.
I'm in Ory. I want to get down to the wholesale market early to pick up a few boxy vegetables. Could they split me a pack of the coffee mails?
I could for sure. Here, 2 woodbines, 1 penny. Out else?
Yes, we need a loaf of bread for a start.
Half a loaf will do. Cut one in two, Sid.
What's the use of half a loaf? It'll be gone by tea time.
The less we have, the less you eat. Sid,
yeah.
I couldn't make it 2.5 woodbines, being as there are 5 in a packet.
I'll cut a loaf in two to oblige, but I'm damned if I'll cut a fag in two.
Hello, Dad. So we may.
Hey, up, Jimmy. You're up then, aye? Good lad. Put kettle on, Gatherine. I'll be in with you shortly. Oh, and put a poker under the fire. Let a bit of air in.
All right, Dad. But we need some tea as well, and sugar. With no butter.
Butter? You mean margarine. Sid, there's a bob. 1 shilling. Oh. On the counter. Money on the nail. Oh. Not like these others. And that's my limit.
1 shilling? That'll never do. That'll not buy enough.
It'll have to do. I'm off. And it hurts me to part with that.
Hurrah, Benny. 1 shilling, Sid. And the cupboard empty.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got money. He's got plenty.
Get off.
Aye, he keeps it all in the post office savings. So nobody can borrow. What a flaming fine husband I got myself.
I don't know how you put up with him, Amy. A bonny young woman like you. A figure like you've got. Ooh.
Young chap reckons I'm too fat.
Fat? You're perfect. Just let me have a feel. Ye, what grand shoulders and back and that what a lovely pair of what a lovely bosom.
Oh, careful, Sid, in case anybody comes.
Don't worry, it's always quiet just before 8 o'clock. Here's your loaf, Mrs. Baxter. Do you think there'll be any chance of another rendezvous sometime, Amy?
I'm supposed to be going to see me Auntie Flo at Farnworth tonight. But he'd be no wiser if I put it off and saw you instead.
Yeah, I'd love that. What, around 8 o'clock by Canal Bridge, you know where I mean.
That'll suit me fine. But what about you?
Well, I often go for a drink after I've been to the bookies and paid any bets out. Your tea and your sugar, will there be anything else? Do you fancy a rasher or two for breakfast?
Ooh, Irish roll. I'd love a bit of that, Sid.
You'll get a bit of that, all right, you will. Ooh, I'll roll you, wench. Yes, Mrs. Baxter, I've found a basin.
What about the shilling here? He left on the counter, Sid.
Put it in your penny pocket.
Oh, Sid, you're very kind.
Does he never suspect out?
Yon chap has only one thing on his mind. Money, money. How to get it and how to keep it.
Get off.
Truth and honest. You'll not let me run the home like a proper wife. I have to hand over my wages to him.
Why do you put up with it?
Well, at times Benny scares me.
Scares you, that shrimp? Hey, I say, put your basket down there beside your feet, Amy, and I can slip things in it and cover it with this newspaper.
Oh, Sid, you're very generous. Careful with those hands of yours.
Ooh, how warm you feel. What lovely legs you've got.
Sit, please. Behave yourself. There's something odd about Benny. Right, odd.
I'd tell him a thing or two. I would for sure if I were you.
I'd just avoid any argument with him. He always wins.
He won't win if you'd follow my advice. I'd let him have a good fortney across the chops one day.
Yeah, I can't stand violence of any kind.
You don't have to look. Just draw your hand back like that. Make your mort in your mind's eye where you want to catch him. Just at the side of his head between his lug and his ean is a good spot. And then without a word more than tap that, swing it round good and hard with a right swipe when he least expects it. That'll cure him.
Sounds like you've had 1 or 2 fourpennies, Sid.
Let's say I know what I'm talking about. Will there be anything else, madam?
No, I think that's all.
Wear your blue ones tonight. Your baggy bloomers, you know the ones I mean.
Sid, don't be rude. And take your hand away. In case. I see why you told me to put my basket down.
Yeah, I bet old Benny goes mad when he cuddles up to you.
Cuddles?
Why, I can't tell you when he last had his arm round me.
Get off.
As true as I'm standing here.
And no stays or liberty bodies. I'm not frisking around tonight. I mean business.
Sid, don't be so rude.
I tell you I mean it.
Don't. Not in the shop. Please. In case. Oh, hello, Jimmy. Dad, I just...
What's up?
Oh, nothing's up, Dad. Why? What did you think was up?
Well, I thought you were...
The lad fetched you a mug of tea, Mr. Sedwin. Isn't he kind?
As soon as you were in the shop, I thought you fancy a drink. Hello, Mrs. Baxter.
Hello, Jimmy. What a good son you are to bring your daddy's tea.
Ah, he's not a bad lad, are we, Jimmy?
I'll just put it on the counter, Dad.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Do you like it at the grammar school, Jimmy?
Aye, except for all the homework.
Oh, you can't beat a good education, that's what I always say.
Well, I'd better be on my
way. Oh, Mrs. Baxter, don't bend down. Not with that bad back of yours you've been telling me about. I was just picking up your basket for you when he came in.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Sedwin.
Not at all. Good customers are scarce these days. Now, I'll give you the change out your 10-bob note.
Oh, yes, thanks. Ta-ra. Ta-ra, Jimmy.
Ta-ra, Mrs. Baxter.
You startled me, son.
Sorry, Dad.
It's all right, it's all right. But you should whistle coming in like that unexpectedly. You know I'm on the nervous side, especially at mornings.
Yes, Dad, but I thought whistling got on your nerves.
Well, then yodel or summit. Yodel. Anything to herald the entrance. Oh, you're up, are you?
Hello, ma'am. I just brought my daddy's tea.
Jimmy, go and put frying pan on like a good lad. I'll be in a minute.
All right, Dad.
Liz?
Oh, don't Liz me in that voice. Was that Fatima I just saw going off?
If you mean Mrs. Baxter, yes it was. What about it?
Now I see you closer, I'd say you were looking white about the gills.
Oh, me? White? why should I be white about the gills? Except I'm in need of my breakfast.
I can see from your face you... I know that, Luke.
What, Luke? What can you see from me face? You can see nothing except what's in your imagination. Beth,
my little girl, I know what's wrong with you. You heard me stuffing and you want your saucer full of daddy's tea. Come on, old girl. Nah, stay, let me pour it out. You'd mind you don't upset your saucer.
No.
You were saying.
Oh, what flaming difference does it make what I say?
You've been overworking, Lizzie. And I blame myself for letting you.
Don't you come any of your old tactics.
Just let me put my arm round your waist, Liz. Oh. Just like that. Oh, what a cuddly wench you are. So warm and soft.
What are you trying on now?
Nothing. Except I'm going to make you some nice scrambled egg and a pot of tea. I'll not be long.
I knew it, our best. He's got me. Bloody men. How they talk a woman round. Cunning sobs they are. Oh, I can feel myself softening.
Beatty, love?
Yes, what is it now?
I was just wondering, when do you think we might be having our dinner?
Having our dinner? Why, look at the clock on the mantelpiece. It's only 11.
Get off. Is that all? Hey, it seems ages since we had breakfast. I don't suppose there'd be a morning cup of tea going. Shall I go and make us a pot?
I'm sorry, but we've no tea left.
Run out of tea, have we? Things are getting in a bad state.
Well, not till I've been to Sedwin's. Somehow I don't feel like going much, what with all we owe them due to this flaming strike. They could only see all the poverty and misery it had caused in their own homes.
Don't talk like that, love. They had to come out. Miners are a different breed of men from surface workers.
Aye, and it looks like they'll have to go back without being a penny better off.
It's that rogue Jimmy Thomas, the railwoman's leader. He let them down, played up to Lloyd George, once he'd got what he wanted. No bigger turncoats than some of these union leaders, filling their own pockets on the sly.
Oh, drat, they're playing right outside our front door. And now they've wet and baby. So, I'll see them off.
They're only playing the games, Beatty. The children have got to play somewhere. I love them little voices.
I'll play the games for them. I'll clear them off the cheeky things.
Go easy with them, Beatty. Don't hurt the feelings.
Oh, you what? Can you hear me? I'll give you what's up. You walk down with Sammy with all your din.
Oh, it's a pity about your Sammy. Hey,
don't you be so cheeky. Now go and play the top end of the street.
Just, love, Mammy's here. Come on, now. Come on.
Pretty to send them away, Beatty. I could listen to children all day long.
I can't have them disturbing his sleep.
Children have been playing in front of that door as long as I can remember.
Then it's time they went somewhere else and gave us a bit of peace.
Our Billy and Joe used to play out there. And by the way, where's their photo?
What photo? What do you mean?
You know, my lad's photo in their uniform, what they had taken on their last leave in 1917. What's always stood there on the mantelpiece, where I can see it as I'm rocking. I like looking up at that. It brings back memories. Memories of happier times.
Sorry, I must have moved it. I thought baby's picture looked nice there in centre.
Well, will you put it back, if you please?
I am doing, no need to talk.
You can see your child any minute of the day, God bless him. But I'll never see those two again. Their king and country claimed them to make this a land fit for heroes. And same as they say, you need to be a flaming hero to live in it.
The wind blows high, the rain comes scattering down the sky. She is handsome, she is pretty, she is a girl with golden city. She goes walking, one, two, three, swimming down the river. The wind blows high, the rain comes scattering.
Oh, up there.
Oh, morning, Mr. Ackley.
Ah, morning, Lizzie. Some as usual, is it? Gallon and a half.
Yeah, but hold on a tick, master. Take me from Ross the milk drop. There you are, love. In it goes. Well, you brought a grand day with you.
Ah, this weather goes on, we'll soon be here, Mackin. That's it. Well, thank you, Lizzie. So long now.
Ta-ra. Thank you.
Oh, hello, Lizzie. Sorry to keep you long. Morning, Mr. Kevin. Now, could I have a quarter of tea, please, and a cup of sugar?
Oh, gosh, you couldn't have. Will we have anything else?
I'll have a pint of milk and half a pound of margarine.
Right. How's Sarah? I see Margaret. You've seen her of late.
Oh, she'll come out front much. She mostly goes out to the back street. Her one pleasure's feeding the birds, the leaf off her hands.
Well, it's a comfort to know that at least some living creature needs it, even if it's only a sparrow.
And a sparrow sold for two a farthing in marketplace. Yet one shall not fall from a tree without thy father knowing. Will you put me 3 pennies of castor oil in this bottle, please?
All right, Mrs. We were talking about Sarah and her birds. Sydney! Shop!
Sarah Kippax, aye. That woman used to be a pillar of this neighbourhood. Every mother around here had to have Sarah on hand at a confinement. And when I got there, it was good to see her in control, wearing the large white pinafore she kept on one side for the occasion. She'd be comforting the mother-to-be and seeing that everything was on hand for me.
Yes, Mrs. Chatterthwaite, at your service.
3 pennies of castor oil.
I'll weigh your bottle.
There's no need, fill it. It'll be 3 pennies. You were saying, Mrs. Satterthwaite.
Ah, Sarah Kippax. She always had plenty of hot water and soap. What a midwife she would have made if she'd only had the chance. Instead of going working in mill at 12.
Hey, I never knew about all that.
Oh.
There's your castor oil, Mrs. Satterthwaite. 3 pennies.
Here you are. Threepence.
Thank you. They're keeping you busy, are they, with the confinement?
Ooh, busy? I'm just rushing over to Bessemer Street with this. A woman in labour and hadn't had her castor oil. And you know why? She hadn't a penny in the house to buy it.
Oh, what a shame.
Aye, well, there's a lot of poverty about. But they say there's none under the blankets.
Aye, more's the pity for some poor women.
Here, here.
Good day.
Morning.
Why are you all speaking now?
Oh, and a quarter of best butter. Be nice to Sarah's tea.
Morning, Mrs. Edwin.
Oh, morning, Jack.
Hello, Beatty, though.
Hey, oh, now where is it, Jack?
Oh, let me look at Polly's list. Oh, aye. A bar of carbolic soap.
Carbolic soap.
A bottle of washing liquor. Mm. And a packet of lively Polly soap powder.
Oh, you haven't a cane for this,
Jack. She can't stop herself.
Aye, well, there's a draw near the time. They want everything just so. It was the same with our Bess when she were having her puppy. She couldn't get that kennel cosy enough. Just listen her. She knows what I'm talking about, you don't you, old girl, eh? She comes to be stroked.
Mr. Sedwin, comparing a woman with a dog.
It's all a one instinct in nature, isn't it? And when you get down to it, we're all animals.
Let's just say some of us are. I see Fanny's just come out of her front door.
Oh, I think I'd best be off.
Are they still at Loggerheads, mother and daughter?
Aye, and I don't want to get more involved. How much is it, Lizzie?
Oh, pay me next time you're in.
Sure, I'm off.
Right, love.
Poor chap, he's pulled one way and another between them.
Women, you can't talk sense into them.
Oh, Mr. Sedwin.
Shh, love. Here she comes.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, Fanny.
Morning, Fanny.
What can I get you?
I tell you what, I fancy something tasty for my dinner. And them black puddings. They look nice.
Yes, they are. They're lovely and fresh.
I think I'll have a couple of them.
You couldn't do better.
Oh, and I'll have two bennies and mixed pickles.
She knows what's tasty. Give your saucer, Fanny. I'll weigh them for you.
There you are. Oh, and no cauliflower pieces, please.
Leave it to me, Fanny. Ooh, what lovely pickles. I tell you, you'd enjoy them. She goes mad about pickles. You're Polly.
I don't want to hear anything about our Polly, if you don't mind.
She's a good lassie, Polly.
I know what she is. I'm a mother. But when she confides in a neighbour before her own mother...
Oh, Fanny, love, don't hit that. Why don't you sit down on this chair here?
I might as well rest my feet.
Hello, Sid.
Hey,
hello, Ned.
Hey, Sid. It's half ounce of thick twist I served me with this morning.
What about it?
And the nose only smoke thin twist. This is more for chewing this thick stuff.
Then damn well chew it. That don't expect me to change it, does it? Oh, hey, Joanie. This place is beginning to smell of miners out on strike. What's the want, Joanie?
I'm ashamed of asking. A package of woodbines.
That should be. Frying fags on the chick.
I reckon how he talks to us, Joanie, now. Now we're on strike.
What do you expect after being idle for 9 weeks?
I will be out another 9 before we go back on Thorner's terms. What do you say, Joanie?
I'll be honest with you, Ned. I'll go back this minute. I'm longing to get hold of me pick and spade. I reckon there's no job like working at Crowfish.
I can understand that. Once a man gets used to it. Oh,
no job like it. Give over a chap sweating his guts out.
I like a good sweat. But not from hard work.
Ned, now that's what I love about you. Sweating. These spinners fitter than others don't know what a good sweat is from hard work. And you see what they look like.
Oh, but it wears a chap down over years.
Listen, Ned, I went working and spinning when I were 12. I couldn't stick it. I couldn't get me breath. I were what they call delicate.
That must be bloody codding. I look strong as an ass.
No, he's right. Then my uncle Henry got me a job as an apprentice glassblower. But how that's me. I used to run out of breath in the middle of a bottle. I ruined bloody a bit. Then I got a job at Walker's Tannery. I used to have to walk home. I don't go on a tram.
That stunk of hides, doesn't matter.
You're right there, Ned. And all the time I kept asking my mum, could I go down pit? But she wouldn't let me go. Your dad and your granddad in love down pit, she kept saying. I'll see you don't go down. Then I started to check about pit without telling her. And the first thing she knew about it when I came home, all black.
Well, I suppose if it's in blood, it has to come out.
I thought I'd never been able to stand it. I used to sweat that much, and my guts were so sore. I felt sick most of the time. I couldn't eat. Nothing but oatmeal gruel that went down easy.
But once having started, I had to stick to it for shame's sake.
Well, that's it, Sid. Even them first weeks nearly killed me. All I wanted was to rest. I could have slept on a clothesline. Then slowly the tide turned and I began to get the better of the job. I'd come out of prison like a bloody lion let loose. And now they say prison will be flooded.
All newspaper talk, bloody lies. You can talk as much as you like. You'll never beat the moneyed men.
I'll see. All we're asking for is justice. Common justice.
Ned, that's never reached the age I are without realising that there's no such thing as justice. Not in this world. Certainly not for the likes of thee, or me either.
Sid, all during war, I worked 6 turns a week.
Yes, same here.
Give over, have some sense. You miners make me laugh. You're like kids. Don't you know they'll pay you anything when they need you? But when they don't...
You give Neddy's half-answered twist, will you, and shut up about what they'll have to do.
I'm just cutting it, aren't I?
Sidney, you'll never in all your born days understand the miners or their way of thinking.
Oh, I agree with that. It's took me a long time and I still don't understand yet.
Oh, and how do you make that out?
Because you don't come from a mining family, so it's no use you talking. Miners are their own men.
Come off it, Fanny.
Oh, she's right there, Sid.
Oh, she is.
I was the same when I married Gilbert. All my folk had worked in the mill. They thought I was lowering myself marrying a coal miner.
Aye, they would. They all think that.
Yeah. Poor bloody miners. Come on, Ned. Right. Let's go down to
Trollhunt. It only took one little moment for me to change.
What's the difference about miners, I'd like to know?
You'd only have to do one shift down the pit to know that. A man who has worked for Coalface doesn't give a damn for anybody. He'll always fight for his rights.
Funny you were saying about what changed you.
Yes. I can remember like it were yesterday. It was the Monday after we'd been married on the Saturday.
That were a short honeymoon, Fanny.
It were long enough for us. Gilbert had his work to keep up to, hadn't he? And although we enjoyed ourselves, we didn't go mad.
I bet you would if I'd been beside you.
You? Give over. It should take a man, not a sample.
Why, a chief, I was next.
If you wash...
Oh, shut up when you say that.
Well, I better go and wash me, Sen, and get me Sen ready for taking bets to the corner.
I think you are.
Right, go on, up with you.
Lizzie, give yon bloody fiddler a penny to go into next street. It depresses me. Fanny, I tell you, if you'd have me beside you...
Ooh. You! I'd get an object crawling over a fork in the bacon.
Fanny, you were saying...
Oh, yes. Gilbert had made me give up my job in the mill. He said he wouldn't marry me if he couldn't keep me.
Of course he wouldn't. A miner must have a wife or a mother at home to fetch and carry. It's not like a mill worker.
That's right, Beatty. And on his first day going to work... I don't think there was an happier wife in the land than I was, waiting behind the door for him coming home, listening for his clogs. His mother had told me they appreciated if you're there to open the door.
That's true. They need all the attention you can give them.
You know, the sight of him as he came in through the door gave me a bit of a shock. Face and everything all black, just his teeth showing in and the whites of his eyes. I went a bit tongue-tied like, so we just smiled at each other. I mean, he looked too tired to talk. Anyway, he took his clogs off on the mat.
The floor cloth in all new aspects.
That's it. He was always considerate. I picked them up for him. He seemed a weight. And so full of bits of coal, I don't know how he'd walked in them. Anyway, he washed his hands and round his mouth.
They're too weary to wash all over till they've had something to eat.
I bet they are.
And when he came into the front kitchen, I had his dinner out. A neck of mutton stew. Very tender. Doesn't need much chewing. His mother gave me that tip. And after it, when he sucked his mug of tea, he said, Fanny, I think I'll just curl up for 5 minutes snooze on the rug in front of the fire. Oh, no, Gilbert, I said. You'll be far better washing you all over in the back kitchen first. You see, his mother had warned me. Once you let him sleep in the dirt down by the hearthstone, the home will never be your own. She says, I've had 20-odd years of it with his dad. They go down on that rug and in two picks they go off to sleep. And you can't get next to near the oven. And then when they wake up, they want to wash them in front of fire. That kitchen being so cold. And they don't realise the trouble they cause the woman.
How true, Fanny, how true.
Anyway, I ran into the back kitchen with his pan of water straight into the big basin on the slop stone. And Gilbert came in. And I ran out as soon as he took his shirt off and started warming the towel in front of the fire. I could hear him puffing and blowing as he washed. But I didn't go in.
Why not?
To be honest... I was a bit shy, seeing a chap in his bare skin, even with his underpants on.
Of course you were.
The next thing, I heard him call out, Fanny, will you come and give me back a scrub? So I went in, and there he was, two doubled over the washbowl on the slop stone. I stood there for a minute, and I stared at his back. It was so broad and so... I don't know... So black? I didn't know where to start.
Poor you.
I know just how you must have felt. So I picks up the soap and the flannel and I starts washing his back. That'll never do, he says. You'll have to use the scrubbing brush like me man does. So I picks up the scrubbing brush, a new one it was, and that hard, I hardly dare press it on. That won't do, he says. You'll have to lay it on or you'll never get the dirt off. So then I set my teeth and I started scrubbing. Ta, Fanny, he says. That's more like it. So then I picked up the flannel to get all the dark soapy stuff off. And when I did, I saw his naked back. I'll never forget that sight.
Why, love, what was it with?
Bruises and that, I'll bet.
Yes. It was a mass of cuts and bruises. And then little blue scars.
They're stripped to the waist, and sometimes the pit roof above them's only about 18 inches high. Pieces break off, they have to turn over, and if they concentrate on their work, they don't even notice them.
I bet that sight gave you a turn, Fanny.
I told you so much.
Oh, I filled up.
And to think your mind had been on your clean and tidy home.
Oh, I felt a lot. I saw one great wheel. It looked red and tender and ran across his back. And you know, I felt like stooping down and kissing it. I don't know how I stopped myself.
What did you do, Fanny?
What did I do? I helped to wash him and dry him all over like he were my son and not my husband. Like he were only a boy, in fact. And I said to him, any time you feel like asleep in front of the fire, I don't really mind. And I can always fix it for you to wash there in comfort, if you'd rather.
Dear old Gilbert, a nicer chap never wore shoe leather. I remember when they came to tell you he'd been trapped down Pretoria Pit with the entire shift.
Why? Was he in that Pretoria Pit disaster?
Why, he was for sure. One of some 300 and odd.
344 men and boys were killed in the explosion on the 21st of December 1910. I'll never forget that date.
4 days before Christmas.
There were some days bringing out all the bodies. But I'll never forget the sight, Fanny. After that policeman brought you word, and you and me got there, to see all those women, mothers and wives, standing around in the bitter cold, all in the shawls, waiting at the pit head for news of their own ones. Aye, and the men too, on other shifts, waiting for word of the mates.
Yes, Lizzie. And I remember I wouldn't go until they brought Gilbert up.
That's right.
And you stayed with me. And the strange thing is, there are some nights when I lie awake in bed and I think back, and somehow I can't see Gilbert's face as clearly. But the sight of his back on that day he came home from work, I'll never forget. Like it was stamped there in my memory.
Salt! Come on, ladies!
Soldier of late parting, mademoiselle's in the family way, après la guerre finie.
Well, 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 a bloody nice sight, I'm poor bloody coal miners, just look at them. Hefty sods down on their hunkers, up against the wall, taking the sun at street corner.
What about it? What just expect,
huh? No strike bloody poverty we don't.
Aye, how can the shopkeeper?
I can't think what country's coming to. Men on strike and of the sodding cheek to sting. And you put kibosh on the derby, no bloody coal for the trains.
Don't worry, they'll be there in the Rolls Royce.
I've told you, it serves you bloody right. Don't come out on strike until they can't do without you. Wait till there's another war or summer to the store. Jack, what the hell are you doing with that empty orange box?
No, why? Well, I mean, if it youngster were expecting, I've got to smooth it down for a cot.
Aye. You don't think when you go to bed on Sunday afternoons the trouble you're making for yourselves?
excuse me. But you're taking the vets for the bookie today, are you?
You bet I am, Tommy.
All right, well, here. Channel in.
Hey, spit it out, Tommy.
Craig and Aaron.
Ta, Tommy, still on.
Ta-ra.
Now, you lot.
Cracky, 12:15, they're all pouring out at Millgate's. I'd best set me stand up at corner.
Yeah, for sure. They'll be coming in their drawers with it, Betts.
You lads can nix for me. If you spot anybody looking like a check, you'll give me a whistle.
Good.
Here, lads. Have a fag apiece, a proper one.
Oh,
gold flake.
Christmas.
Hey, doesn't it feel lovely to get a breath of air?
Oh, yes, Thomas,
in that mill today, isn't it? Oh, it's nice to get out from the din.
Hey, I say, what are you doing for the Derby?
I don't know as I'm doing anything.
Oh, what about you, Maggie? What was that horse you dreamt about?
You, Marissa? I'm just checking these bets to see.
I don't miss it.
No. I saw that horse come in, and I'm all shouting, come on, Steve!
I'm
going to
have a camera on that.
Ah, an old-fashioned bookie with old-fashioned ways and a knowledge box fitted for two. The odds that I lay are the odds that I pay. No twisting or dodging with you.
Sit. Yeah. Threepence each way, Leonard.
Yeah, ta, Tommy. I'm a little bit fly, but as straight as a dice. Oh, wait a minute, lass. Come to have a bet, have you?
I was just watching you, weighing up all the skirt coming out of the mill.
Give our... There's not a one of them to compare with you.
What a tale. Here, I'm having that shilling on Thingamabob. You know, humorous.
They're all backing it, but somehow I don't fancy Steve.
Well, Maggie Whittle reckons she saw it win.
Right, give us your slip, but it's daylight robbery.
Yeah. And I put a kiss on for you.
Yeah, I'll treasure that. And don't forget, wear your flannel bloomers tonight.
Sydney, don't be rude. I've got to get back before Benny comes home. Keep it dark about me bet.
Ah.
He'd murder me if he knew I'd risk his shilling on a nose.
Right, I'll see you tonight.
Hello, Steve.
Sarah, I'll go, lass. Okay. Are you having your annual bet?
Aye, not missing the Derby, no matter how bad things are.
Aye, well, they say you might as well be out of the world as out of the fashion.
That's right.
Now, what are you doing?
I thought I'd have a bob win on Humorist. I have it written down here.
You mean you're risking a full shilling on Steve Donoghue?
Aye, why not?
I don't know. Look, there's 20-odd runners, see? So why not go a tanner win and a tanner plate, and if it comes in second or third, you've come up back?
No, Sid, not me. In for a penny, in for a pound, that's what I say. Besides, I got the tip from Maggie Whittle. She dreamt last night she saw it win.
Dreamt? You'd never guess where I dreamt last night.
No, I wouldn't. What did you dream?
Minori, they're going to have two bob straight wins.
Hey, that knows something, Charlie.
I do, for sure.
You were saying, Sid, what you dreamt last night.
Aye, Sarah. Last night and every bloody night come to that.
Now, what could that be?
I'll tell you, Sarah, but I wouldn't tell another.
Aye, and what is it?
I'm back there in the desert, lost, looking for all my comrades, and the Turks after me. And I'll not even tell you what they did to us if they caught us. Bloody Turks, savages of the worst kind.
You mean in Mesopotamia, among your old wartime mates?
Aye, Sarah, and them lads were real mates. They'd share your last biscuit, last drop of water with you.
Give us his way, Roman.
Aye, right, so long, Ernie. Sarah, I'll tell you one thing. You won't find their like in Civvy Street. Don't come down the ladder. I've shifted. Every man for himself. That's the present-day mentality.
Now go, Steve. Excuse me interrupting, Sarah. Right. Have a pile of bets here, Sid. Oh. All marked down.
All right, Maggie. I'll be off.
They're everyone on Humorist. I want to get home and give them the dinner.
Give your bets then, Maggie.
They are. You can check them, but you'll find them all in order.
All right, Maggie. Don't you worry. The odds that I lay are the odds that I play. Now, I wonder, could I make myself a few bob? If I stood a few of these bets on Humorist, why give it all to the bookie? Yes, stick a few slips in your back pocket, Sidney. Get yourself a bit of the gravy. A nice easy quid or two for yourself. I'm a little bit fly, but as straight as a die. I'm an old-fashioned bookie, that's me.
I'll be right glad when this lot's done.
It's only me, Bigby.
What is it?
I thought I'd go to the allotment. I feel I'll go mad if I don't do some work.
Right, it'll do you good. I'll fetch some up back.
But first I'll turn the mangle for you. It's our work for you with them blankets.
It's all right, Albert. You go to the allotment. I can manage.
No, no, I'd like to do it. You lift the blankets up out the tub, stick it between the rollers, and I'll turn.
Well, it would save time. You ready?
Right, I'm ready.
Hey, car, Albert, that makes it easier.
Beatty.
Aye.
I'm sorry about this morning. I mean, the way I got up in a huff like that.
No, it weren't your fault, not really. I should have let your mother take baby.
Am I forgiven?
Nothing to forgive, is there? It was just how it happened. And it's not as though we can't make up for it.
Oh, Beatty, you're a marvel. You honestly are. It was just that I was thinking.
I'm hoping we might have a few more mornings in bed like today.
You mean with... You don't mean with...
With nothing on, aye. Why not? It were lovely.
Hey, you beaky. I...
Go on. Say it. Say you love me.
Love? Oh, it's more than that. Ever since our son we were born, it's like you're part of me. A part I never knew I had till I met you.
Now let's get on with mangling, shall we?
Right.
Well, chaps, I'll have to leave you. Maggie will be home, dinner will be ready.
Aye, I reckon I have to be off too, before Polly comes after me.
I reckon I'll too late, Jack. Here she comes.
Aye, you. Can't be stopped. How long are you going to be with my orange box?
Come in, Polly, come in.
Bloody hell.
I'll give you
coming.
Hello, lass. How are you feeling, lass?
Champion. I'm champion. It's a suffering of mine. What are you hanging around for? And I'm waiting.
Well, these chaps got me talking.
They would. You wouldn't get them talking, would you?
I reckon, Polly, you could do worse than Jack.
I could do better. I say, Ned, you don't know who those two chaps are back there, do you?
Which two? Where do you mean?
Back there, near Cannon Street. I've seen them a time or two. Hanging about the back street. Luke. Oh, they just dodged out of sight behind that corner.
What were they like?
They favoured a couple of better-off bum bailiffs to me. You know the kind. Just Luke. I think they're watching the corner. No, there they are.
Ah, they're two strangers, are they?
Oh, keep on. I bet they've texted after Sydney. Jack, give them the signal, quick.
They darted back.
Ned, they go and warn Steve before they come out again.
I'll cover up if they ask out.
Come on, Polly, let's be off.
No time to. Come on. Don't forget the orange box.
I'm an old-fashioned bookie.
Yeah, quick, bloody text.
What? Where?
Hey, I think he's talking to another. They've been spying on me. They're up that way near Cannon Street.
Which is my best way out?
I'm not sure.
I could make a desk for it.
Hey, come, run through our house.
Aye, right.
That's safe, isn't it?
Right.
I'll drive back. That goes in, kid. Lock door behind it.
Right, Ned. Ta.
Mr. Sedwin, what's up?
What is it? What do you want?
Excuse us, you haven't seen me.
I haven't seen you?
Who's that? Who slammed the door?
It's Mr. Sedwin, ma'am. He says we haven't seen him.
Not a word.
Sid, what do you want?
It's Maggie, shush. The techs are after me.
Get off the knot.
Aye, and I've got a ride. Quick, where can I go?
Adam, lock door, will you?
I've already locked it.
Right, but what about my bets? I mean, mine and all the bets of my mates, all on you, Marie.
Safe as the Bank of England, so long as they don't get on to me. Now, where can I hide?
I'll show you. Win. Go on, eating. Go
Adam,
on.
Right, yes.
Right. Adam, quick. Start your practice for your music lesson tonight.
All right, Mum.
And remember, you've seen note and you've heard note.
And known note.
And smell note. Leave it to us, Dad.
Come on, Tim. Come through. I'll hide you away. Come on.
How the hell did you manage to let him get away?
I didn't, Frank. I ran around the road to grab him at the other side. But he didn't show up.
Nah, that means he must have gone into one of these houses.
He must have done. Hey, I'll ask one or two of these who are around, just on the off chance.
But
you... Hi, you, mate. Did you see one chap dashing off?
Yes, straight up. One chap what?
Did you see the fella running off?
I saw nobody.
No, you wouldn't. Hey, Missy, did you see where he ran to?
Where he ran to?
Oh, don't bother yourself. Hey, Sonny.
What?
Did you see where that chap ran off to?
What chap?
The bookies runner. Come on, you all know him.
Just come round the corner, mister. I've seen what they've
done. Oh, I tell you, it's no use asking any of these.
Hey, there's
one chap. You'll get nothing out of them.
There at the corner, down on his unkers. He must have seen him. Hey, you there, did you see which way the bookies runner went?
Sorry, mate, I can't see nothing. I've got stag eye.
You've got the what eye?
Stag eye, not stagmas. I'm a miner. Can't see properly. I've got shaky eyes.
Oh, you can see all right. You must have seen him. The bookies runner who has his pitch here.
There's no bookies runner has a pitch here as I know of.
Oh, what a bloody bunch of liars.
Frank, I don't like being beaten by yon chap. Hey, that looks a likely door. Let's try it.
Aye, give a good hammer on it. Scare him a bit, that's the way.
Right. I'll bet they don't open it.
I'll give him another rat-tat.
That's good, bring it.
Aye, aye, what What's up? What's all the banging about? What are you two wanting?
Do you always lock your front door, Mrs. At dinner time?
At all times in this quarter, you can't trust nobody. And who are you two, then?
Oh, I see. Now, we're detectives. Where's he hiding, eh? Out with it.
Who?
Come on.
Who? Where's who hiding?
Oh, don't come it, Mrs. We saw him run in your front door.
You saw who run in?
The bookie's runner.
Door. What bookie's runner?
You know, he came in this door.
Then he must still be inside, so come in if you want. Come on.
Come on, Harry.
I'll have a last gander around the street.
Sid. Come out, Jeff Petty. Through the front door. I think they're coming in. Come on, quick.
What'll I do, Meg? Make a run for it down back street.
Hey, don't risk it. They might have a couple with you at the other end. Oh, there's Fanny from next door putting out her washing. Just a tick. Hey, Fanny. Fanny.
What's up with you two?
Sid, here the techs are after him for taking bets.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you check me in your back kitchen, Fanny, till they go?
Oh, I don't know.
Of course you will. Up the ladder there. Go on, over the top. Quick! Oh, you're away, Sid!
Quick, Fanny, open the door.
Oh, God, I don't know what to do.
Come on, inside with me.
Lock the door behind you.
Come on in and look if you're not satisfied. Hey, ma'am, what's up?
What's wrong, ma'am? What do they want?
These two men say they're detectives.
Detectives? What kind of detectives?
They don't favour detectives to me.
Hey, have either of you two seen the bookie's runner?
The bookie's runner?
What's a bookie's runner?
I told you, Annie, you'll get nothing out of them.
And if you don't mind, I'd like to start me dinner. Adam, your violin practice.
All right, ma'am. He goes to his music lesson tonight and I'm paying a shilling a week.
I say it might be a waste of good money.
Well, I want your opinion. I'll ask for it.
Come on, Harry. We'll look out the back if you've no objection.
Look away. Wherever you've a mind. Upstairs, downstairs, in my lady's chamber. There's only the old fella out there somewhere. Keep playing, love.
Well, with all these backyards, he could be anywhere by this.
I'll just try the closet door there.
It's shut. Hey, it sounds like there's somebody in.
It might be in. Kick it open.
Hey, what the hell? Who's that? What's the bloody game?
Who are you inside there?
Who am I? I'm Ned Flaming Whittle. I bloody live here.
Who are you?
We're detectives.
We're after bookies running.
I don't care who or what you're after. But it's certainly no nice thing to come up on a chap when he's sitting peacefully in his own petty. I'll be done in a minute.
He must have gone out the back gate in a way. Not if he's been here at all, which I doubt.
Look, there's a step ladder.
What about it? Oh, I see. You think he went over into the next yard?
Hey, let's have a look. Hey, what's that bit of paper?
Huh?
Pick it up, Harry.
Well, it's nothing. It's... Humorist. Mm. A shilling win.
Now look, I bet he dropped it out of his pocket.
You could be right, Frank.
Excuse me. Well, I'd like to know, have you two any warrant to be in my backyard?
No, take no bloody notice, Harry.
What about this betting slip on today's derby?
It's mine.
Whose leg do you think you're pulling? Come on, Harry. Over the top.
I reckon he must have dropped it. I bet he's not far away. Up and over.
Hey, you've broken our bloody stepladder.
Yes, it mended. Harry, look in the doings, see if he's inside.
No, it's empty, Frank.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if he's inside the house.
Oh, Tommy is.
Oh, my God. Shh, just outside. Don't move, don't speak. What's up against me? I can hardly breathe. And I'll keep me back to the door so as they can't spot us through the window. Hold on to me and relax.
How can I relax, stuck up as I am against your stomach?
Shh, through the door. Keep pressed against me.
Lift the latch, keep it short. No, it's locked. Well, hammer on the door.
Hey, hey there, open the door.
Open up there, can you hear me? Open up.
We know you're
there. Move it back, the bloody swine. Don't jerk yourself into me like that, Sid. I couldn't. Nice. I couldn't help it, Fanny. It were reverberation when he hit the door.
We'll stay until midnight, but we'll get you.
Oh, Sid, we caught Sid. We done it.
You will be if you move. It's all a game of bluff. I know their tricks.
Open up on this door. Come out, or I'll be the worst for you.
Well, then we're wasting the time. He must have got away down the back street.
I have a feeling he's inside somewhere. We'll have a look around.
You can breathe now, Fanny, but don't move. They might spot you.
Oh, Sidney. If you're so hot, press pushed up against you.
Of course it does. Oh. And you've got this wool jumper on.
I'm feeling faint.
Your forehead's all damp.
Oh, I feel damp all over.
Hold on to it. Just a tick. Are you ready?
I'm ready. What for?
Whoops, off with your jumper.
I'll bet that feels better.
Oh, Sydney, you shouldn't have done that. Just look at me. There's hardly anything going underneath. Oh.
I am looking. What lovely arms and shoulders, Fanny. And what...
Oh, stop it. Give over. Oh, I feel awful. I mean, suppose a neighbour were to see us, what would they think?
Shh, they're coming back. Watch up close, Fanny. Right up against me. Then they won't see us.
Oh, Sydney.
Looks like he's skedaddled again. Oh, I've still got a feeling he might have dodged inside
you.
Can you hear me? Why don't you come out of there?
Why don't you pee off?
Language. There's no need to be vulgar.
I'm sorry, excuse me, Fanny, it slipped out.
Well, as long as nothing else slips out. And don't keep pressing yourself into me.
I'm not pressing. I'm off my balance. And it's just the way a chap happens to be built.
Have a look through the window there. I think you can spot anything. All right, Frank, if you think so. Oh, there's just a chance you might be hiding.
Quick, Fanny, look up closer, right up against me. Else you'll stick out in line with the window.
I can't get more against you. I can feel your heart and everything flooding away.
I can feel it myself. And yours too.
Oh, we are in the right mess.
Easy does it.
I can see right round the back kitchen. There's nothing there. Hey, and I can see the bottom of the stairs. There's no one there.
That's what you think.
Let's hang around a bit just in case. Why don't you go out? Oh, come on, Ian. There's something going on inside there.
It's your dirty mind. There's nothing going on here. It's all above board, isn't it, Fanny?
Excuse me, Sid.
Oh, I can smell them. Them black puddings and mixed pickles you had for your dinner.
I'm sorry, Sid.
No, don't turn your head away, Fanny. I love a woman with an homely smell. It beats all your fancy scents. Full nana and the rest on them. I like a woman to smell womanly.
Oh, Sid, stop it. You don't know how talk like that can affect a body.
Oh, Fanny, your skin's like that of a girl.
Give over. At my age.
I reckon a woman in her 40s is in the prime of life.
Well, I do try not to let myself sag.
Fanny, just set my mind at ease. You get up on the windowsill.
Well, how do I get up?
I'll get up here. I'll turn this door.
If you damage it, my daughter, to walk through it.
How is that? Up you go. Come on. Now, try and open the window and have a good look around.
We're done for.
Not yet, Fanny. Not yet.
Can we creep upstairs?
No, I don't think so. He might just spot us. We'll have to stay in this corner out of sight.
You're so squashed up and uncomfortable.
I know what. Let's both lie down together on the stairs. Slip your shoes off. Don't be shy. I've got hold of you. Down you go.
Oh, Sid, it's... I don't know what...
We might just be able to crawl up. Go on, get down on your belly. I mean your stomach. I'll come right behind you and I'll shove you along.
Mind how you shove. Go easy.
Go on, I've got you. I'll hold on to you. You can't slip where I've got you gripped. And I'll come up just behind you.
Sid, please don't push me there. I'm ticklish.
I'm only supporting you with my hand. Up now, Fanny. We must get up and out of their sight.
Oh.
I'm with you.
Stairs hurt my knees.
I know what. Just lie on top of me.
Lie on top of you? How do you mean?
Just turn a bit. That's it. Just. Okay. So we lie face to face, body to body. So there's nothing sticking out for him to see. Now, just slither yourself on top of me.
I'm slithering?
Then you might get his won't open. Try the
top part, then. How does it feel, Fanny? Oh. Are you comfy?
Oh, Sid, it feels funny.
What feels funny?
I mean, being up in the air like this. I've never before in my life lied on top of a chap.
You don't know what you've been missing. Hold on, Fanny, and I'll put my arms around you.
Hold on, that's it, it'll give away.
Am I heavy on you?
Heavy? I've had worse burdens in my life than a nice plump woman lying on top of me.
Don't be so cheeky.
Hey, I've opened the top.
Aye, well, stick your head in, Harry. Can you see anything?
No, not a thing. It's an eight, just a tick.
I thought
I saw something just then, but no, it was nothing.
Oh, skew your head round a bit more. It might be in the corner.
All right, I will. No! Nothing at all!
Oh, come get down, man. Careful!
We seem to be wasting
our time.
Oh, I'll have another kick at that
damn jaw.
All right. Hey,
go, Mrs. Frank, you kick it in. Come out! Come out there,
what
I tell you,
what
have you got here? Come on!
It's no use, there's nobody inside, or else it'll come out long since.
Oh, I've still got that feeling there is. If only I could lay hands on that damn bookie's runner. This is the third time he's stopped.
Aye, I reckon you must have given us a slip again.
Oh, I'll have to have one runner on Derby Day.
You would, you flaming old Mary Ann.
Go on, we might as well be off.
It looks like it may as well. We might find some other if we go there and have a slip.
Oh, Sid. It doesn't feel right.
What doesn't feel right?
Me lying on top of you like this. Have they gone?
Don't touch me. Don't get off me yet, Fanny. They'll be hanging around watching.
Hey, I don't know. I would face my neighbours if this got out.
If what got out?
What do you think? I mean, being on top of you with no jumper on. What's up? Are you getting pins and needles, Sid?
Yeah, something of the sort.
Sid, are you there, Sid? It's me, yeah. Oh. Sid, take the gun off. Give me
a look. Quick! Where's the jumper?
Did
you see it? Oh,
just calm down, or else you'll give the game away.
Sid, are you there? I said they've gone. I can come out.
Blast you, Ned. All right, Ned, Chad, that's a real pal. I'll just call Fanny. She went somewhere upstairs. Fanny, you can come down now. Ned reckons it's all over. Fanny. Clump a bit on the stairs as though you're coming down.
Tamar, I'm in my stocking feet. Where's my shoes? Let me make myself respectable. Oh, goodness gracious.
Then I'll clump for you with your shoes. Fanny, you're safe. Come down. Come in, Sid.
Come in, Sid.
Are you respectable, Fanny?
I feel I'll never be respectable again in my life. Open the bloody door.
The wind blows high. The rain comes scattering down the sky. She is handsome, she is pretty. She is the girl of the Golden City. She goes courting, 1, 2, 3. Please and tell me who is she.
The part of Sydney was played by Barry Rucker and Fanny by Stephanie Turner. Maggie Whittle, Polly James. Ned Whittle, Brian Pringle. Wynne, Emma Gregory. Adam, Susan Sheridan. Lizzie Sedwin, Shirley Dixon. Jimmy, Stephen Garlick. Polly Harwood, Carol Starks. Jack, Jeff Rawl. Amy Baxter, Sarah Richardson. Benny, Nigel Carrington. Betty Kippax, Jane Whittenshaw. Albert, Mark Straker. Sarah, Frieda Dowie. Joni, Terence Edmund. Mrs. Satterthwaite, Elizabeth Kelly. Bob, the knocker-up, Timothy Bateson. Detective Hawkins, Ronald Herdman. And Detective Rice, and the narrator, Stephen Thorne. With the boys and girls of Bolton School. Mouth organ and fiddle, Mark Emerson. Technical presentation by David Greenwood, Keith Graham, and Colin Guthrie. Derby Day was written by Bill Norton and directed by Jane Morgan.